Let's pray before we get into what the Lord has for us. Father, we thank you tonight for your word, that your word is truth and your Holy Spirit indwells us, lives in us for the purpose of teaching us the word, counseling us, tutoring us in the word, revealing to us your very heart, revealing to us your plans, revealing to us your purpose for us, where we are, who we are, what we have in Christ. Father, we thank you tonight that as we open the word, that it's not just what I say that matters. What's most important is what you speak to us in our hearts. And I ask you to speak to us tonight for all of us, that we would see something we haven't seen, see what we need to see tonight. Some of us, we need to be reminded of some of the things we're going to talk about. And Father, I ask you to give us fresh eyes tonight, fresh insight into the word. We thank you for your goodness because you're a good, 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 good God. And you love us. Thank you for that tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Well, don't be quiet tonight. Sunday morning, people were too quiet. And I just wanted to find a new church where they made more noise. If we didn't have such a good preacher, I would have had to change churches. But because I don't like to go to a quiet church. So don't be quiet tonight because I don't like this preacher as much as the one we had Sunday. So anyway, praise God. Most of y'all know that Matt and I went to Oral Roberts University. That's where we met, out in Tulsa, Oklahoma. We met there many, many years ago. Let's see, this is, it'll be 30 years ago this fall that we met. Best 30 years of your life. And so, of my life, I meant to say. I'm just teasing. Anyway, but we met there, and a friend of ours who's in ministry, his daughter graduated this past weekend in the ceremony, and I was talking to him some, and he was, we were just talking about his daughter graduating and some of the things that, you know, happened there and transpired. And as it always happens, it came up that commission that the Lord gave when he spoke to them about building the university there. And he spoke to Oral Roberts and he said to him something. And I just want to read that to you because this has impacted my life. It's impacted Matt's life. It's impacted our church. When you hear it, you'll see how it's impacted us. But the Lord said to Oral, he said, "Raise up your students to hear my voice, to go where my light is dim, where my voice is heard small, and my healing power is not known, even to the uttermost bounds of the earth." And then he said to him, "Their work will exceed yours, and in this I am well pleased." So we were talking about that, and I was remembering that every time we go out there, have anything to do with it, I'm reminded of it, and kind of get chill bumps a little bit just because it's impacted my life so, because I know I'm one of these students that was raised up. But I, for some reason, as I was talking about it and reading it, it just, something struck me, and that's what I want to share with you tonight. Because when the Lord spoke to him, he said, "Raise up your students too." And there were so many things that the Lord could have said to him to do, to raise his students up to do. And you think about that. When the Lord talks to us or when he says certain things, you know, just like Jesus before he ascended on high, there were a lot of things that he could have said to them. I know I've been on trips and talk to the kids before you leave and you tell them certain things, you know, what you want to say. The last things you say are kind of important things. Sometimes you give directives and you want somebody to understand, do this thing. And so it's interesting what the Lord would say when he would speak to somebody. What would he say to them? And given direction about starting this university and what he wanted the students to be raised up in. And he said to them, "Raise up your students to hear my voice." And so that phrase, "to hear my voice," has just been rolling around inside of me since Saturday, since I had the conversation. Well, I don't remember when I had the conversation, but just been rolling around inside of me about "to hear my voice." And I've just been reminded how vital it is that we all know how to hear his voice. Now, you know, I don't know where you are in your, exactly where you are in your journey with God. I can tell you this, I've been saved as long as I can remember. I know there was a day and a time I got saved. I just don't know when it was. And I almost, you know, I can just say this, all of my known life that I have remembrance of, I've been able to hear from God. And I can tell you, I can hear from God. I hope you can hear from God too. I know his voice. He talks to me. I'm not ashamed to say, and I don't feel weird to say that God talks to me. And if I was going to make a list of how I know God's real, I'd have a lot of things to put on my list. But one of the things I'd put on my list is I know he's real because I've heard him. I know he's real because he's talked to me. I don't mean I've heard him out loud audibly. I've never heard God out loud audibly. Really, don't want to. Because when God in the Bible talked to people out loud audibly, it wasn't usually good. So I don't want to hear him audibly, but I know how to hear from God. And I know his voice. And some spectacular things and some supernatural things have happened in my life as a result of me hearing from God. But I'm not the only one here that has that testimony. I think many of us do, because every believer should hear from God, should know how to hear from him. And so that's one of the things that we endeavor to teach here at Good News Church and to train people in. In my opinion, you're never going to be a fully developed disciple in Christ unless you know how to hear from God. You got to hear his voice and you got to know his voice. So I just want to talk about that tonight because I know how to hear his voice, but I tell you, it's good for me to be reminded to hear his voice and how to hear his voice and maybe some things that would block or stand in the way of me hearing his voice. I want to hear his voice. Do y'all want to hear his voice? You know, his voice is the voice of truth. Let's just talk about it for a minute. His voice is the voice of truth. And we live in a world where there's very little truth. And the truth that we, you know, think we've been so sure of has been challenged. And, you know, and we live in a day where people don't even believe in absolute truth. You know, one of the issues that my kids face and with dealing with their peers, people that are, you know, under 25, is there is, you know, unlike my mother's generation that was raised with the idea that there is absolute truth, it is now just accepted that I'll just make my own truth. Well, if you're making it, it's not the truth. And so, but this is just the way that the world is going. And man, 50 years from now, who knows what the truth will be. So the truth is so variable. I'm so glad that the Spirit of Truth speaks to me and talks to me because his voice is the voice of truth. And you know, let's think of some other things his voice says. What are some other things? His voice is a voice of wisdom. And I don't know if you've read Proverbs lately, but I can tell you from reading Proverbs, wisdom is something you want. Because wisdom leads to long life. And wisdom leads to treasure, the real treasures. Wisdom leads to riches and honor. So if you want any of those things, you need wisdom. And his voice is a voice of wisdom. So those are just a couple of things just right off the bat that I know his voice is. Does anybody have something they want to contribute here? His voice is what? Peace. Absolutely, his voice is peace. His voice, when he speaks in your life, it brings peace, it brings calm, it brings comfort, it brings consolation. That's his voice in our lives. Man, do we need the voice of peace. These are all really good reasons to hear his voice. Anything else? Guidance. Yes, because he knows what is, what has been, and what will be. The Bible says he'll lead us and guide us into all the truth, which I just mentioned, and he'll show us things to come. And part of the real meaning of the comforter, the counselor that the Holy Spirit is he is the one who guides. That's part of his nature to guide, to counsel us, to you know, show us where to go, to lead us, which we're going to talk about in a few minutes. But guidance, when we don't know what to do, and who really knows what to do? Come on. Just when you thought you knew what to do, that's not even a thing to do anymore. They've totally done away with that. That's not even, just when you settled down, you know, settled on, okay, I'm going to push the red button. You look and see, they took away the red button. That's not even, there's no red button to push. Oh my goodness. That's how life is these days. It's difficult. We need the guidance, the guide himself, to show us the way, and his voice is guidance. So you see right there, we just right there came up with four great things that his voice is. So who wants to hear his voice? Who wants guidance? Who wants peace? Who wants wisdom? Who wants truth? And a lot of other things. We could just stop right there and you could just, you know, preach my message for me tonight because y'all are doing so good. So maybe I should see what I have. Okay. If you brought a Bible tonight, you can turn there. If not, hopefully my main man, Ian, is back there. Yes, sirree. We should all appreciate Ian Turner. Yes. Because not only can he beat the drums, but he makes the scriptures appear on Wednesday nights, and I so appreciate that. John chapter 10, verse 1, I'm going to read a passage here tonight, and I'm going to read out of the New Living, so you may want to just follow on the screen unless you have a New Living, but I urge you to read your Bible too. You'll see why in a few minutes. John chapter 10, verse 1, this is in red if you have one of those red versions, you know, of the Bible, but I'll just tell you that Jesus is talking. He said, "I tell you the truth. Anyone who sneaks over the wall of a sheepfold rather than going through the gate must surely be a thief and a robber. But the one who enters through the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep recognize his voice and come to him. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. After he's gathered his own flock, he walks ahead of them, and they follow him because they know his voice. They won't follow a stranger. They will run from him because they don't know his voice." Those who heard Jesus use this illustration didn't understand what he meant, so he explained it to them. "I tell you the truth, I am the gate for the sheep. All who came before me were thieves and robbers, but the true sheep did not listen to them. Yes, I am the gate. Those who come in through me will be saved. They will come and go freely, and they will find good pastures. The thief's purpose is to kill, or to steal and kill and destroy. My purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life." Aren't you glad about that? "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd sacrifices his life for the sheep. A hired hand will run when he sees a wolf coming. He will abandon the sheep because they don't belong to him and he isn't their shepherd. And so the wolf attacks them and scatters the flock. The hired hand runs away because he's only working for the money and doesn't really care about the sheep." He goes on to say, "I am the good shepherd. I know my own sheep and they know me. Just as my Father knows me and I know the Father, so I sacrifice my life for the sheep. I have other sheep too that are not in the sheepfold. I must bring them also. They will listen to my voice, and there will be one flock with one shepherd." Isn't that awesome? In this is where we get the, you know, phrase that he is the good shepherd comes from this passage here in John 10. Jesus is introducing himself as a good shepherd. He is the shepherd. And we, you know, David talked about the Lord is my shepherd over in Psalm 23. The Lord is our shepherd. And there are some things about a shepherd that we could talk about. We could have a lesson tonight on what is a shepherd and how the Lord is our shepherd. But I'm not here to talk about that. This one thing I think we can all agree on. A shepherd leads the sheep. And, you know, even from what, even though I've never herded any sheep, I know enough about sheep and shepherding to know this, that the sheep are supposed to follow the shepherd, and the shepherd is supposed to watch out for the sheep, and the shepherd is supposed to take the sheep where they will be safe, and where they will be fed, where they'll be watered, where they'll be cared for, where things will be best for the sheep. Isn't that right? That's where he takes them. And then, you know, even with what David wrote in Psalm 23, when he said, "He leads me beside the still waters," and we know from you know, just from other people who are familiar with sheep, that sheep can't drink from running streams. They can only drink from water that's still, because they're not the brightest of all animals. And so that may or may not be true, but that's what the rumor has, that they could only drink from still water. So he takes them over to the still water where they can drink. Isn't that good that the shepherd leads the sheep to where they need to be, where they can be watered, where they can be fed to the things that they need that are, you know, special for them? Because some animals can drink from running water. Because I can tell you dogs can, because I witnessed that. I know dogs can, but they say sheep can't. So it has to be some still water for them, water that's not running like a creek. And so as we see in here, we see that Jesus is saying, "I'm the shepherd, and there are some sheep that'll be following me." Now let's go back up in some of the earlier verses. I don't have all the notations of the verses, so in my passage that I printed here, it says, though, that he calls, the sheep recognize his voice and come to him. So there's something about the shepherd's voice. The sheep know the shepherd's voice. And we're talking tonight about hearing his voice. Because, you know, I read to you about hearing God's voice and what the Lord said to Oral, to hear my voice, to go, and told him where to go. The reality is we can't go anywhere for God or with God if we don't hear his voice. And the same way with those sheep. The sheep can't go anywhere unless they hear the voice of the shepherd. Not anywhere worth going. Not anywhere the shepherd would lead them. And for you and me in our lives, if we want to follow the good shepherd, we're going to have to hear his voice. Don't you want to hear his voice? It's where peace comes from, guidance, truth, wisdom, other things you could have added. That all comes from him. And it says the sheep recognize his voice and they come to him. Now, it also tells us there's a stranger that goes about, but the sheep, they run away from the stranger because they don't know his voice. Did you know there's a strange voice, stranger voices? So that's good to know. Stranger danger, stranger danger, stranger danger. Okay. And then down at the last part there in verse 15 or 16, well, I think it actually verse 16, he says, they will listen to my voice. So all this passage is talking about the good shepherd and him leading the sheep. But one of the pivotal points, one pivotal focus of the shepherd leading the sheep is that the sheep would hear the shepherd's voice and know his voice. He is still the shepherd today. He's still the shepherd today. He's still leading sheep today. And whether we like it or whether we realize it or whether we've ever considered this fact, you and me are sheep. We are sheep. We're part of his flock, and he's our shepherd. And he's leading us, and we have to know his voice. And there is a strange shepherd out and about, perhaps more than one, with a strange voice. And I don't know about you, but I'm really tired of the sheep of God's pasture, his flock, running off with a strange shepherd. I don't want you running off with a strange shepherd. Now, by that, I'm not talking about a different pastor. That's not this message. I'm talking about a shepherd, this shepherd that is the thief, the one who's come in to steal, kill, and destroy. I don't want you running his way. So how do we hear God's voice? How do we hear his voice? Well, we hear him on the inside. That's good. We do. But I'll just give you three things I've learned in my life and that I've learned through the scripture and that I've learned that help other people when I share it with them. So I'll share it with you tonight. Many of you, I've shared this with you and you've heard this. But the first and foremost way God speaks to us is how? What? Yay! Somebody was listening. Through his word, God speaks to us first, foremost, above all other ways he speaks to us. He speaks to us through his word. And I'm so grateful for that because his word is the most sure word that there is. You know, we won't take a history lesson here on how we got the Bible, but you should do a little research on that, where the Bible, where the written word came from. And then you should, besides that, do a little research on people that gave their lives so that you and me could have the Bible. It's pretty interesting. But we have the Bible written down, God's inspired words that he inspired people. You know, sometimes people say, oh, how can you be sure God said that? Because men wrote it. Yeah, because God, you know, the last time he wrote was when he wrote on tablets at Mount Sinai because he didn't live inside anybody then to inspire them to write. But God lives in people now, and he can inspire people to write, just like he can still inspire people to speak for him. He can inspire, and he inspired people to write, thank God, and to put down his words, and they are a more sure word than any other word that there is. Any word you think you hear, any word someone else tells you is from God, the Bible is it. It's the standard. It's the measure by which we measure everything. It's the standard by which we measure every other word we think is from God. We always run it through the filter of God's word. So first of all, we learn his voice by learning his word. That's pretty simple. It's how we know what he sounds like. How do you know God's accent? How do you know the words God would use? Because they're in the scripture. You know, just to be honest with you, if I had, you know, this is nothing reflection on any of you, wherever you may be with this, but I have to tell you, if I was in my office and suddenly I just heard this big string of cuss words being yelled out in the church, my first thought would not be, I bet that's Matt. Because in 30 years, I've never heard Matt give any cuss words, much less a big long string of them. If I heard a big string of cuss words coming from his office, I'd run in there to see who's in his office screaming cuss words. I hope it's not one of you. But you know why? Because I've learned through my association with him that he doesn't talk like that. Now, maybe you're still, you know, working with that in your life. That's your own deal. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. But that's not what Matt Judd does. So it's interesting. I can tell if things he said or didn't say. In fact, sometimes people tell me things that Matt said, and I know good and well he didn't say it because I know him. And that's why we get in the Word and find out what the Word says, because we learn his voice in his Word. So if someone comes up to me and they say, well, God told me that he made me sick to teach me a lesson, then exactly. No, he didn't. Because nowhere in the scripture did he tell anybody he was making them sick to teach them a lesson. And in fact, from what I can see in the scripture, Jesus, who came, whose very job was to reveal the Father to us, he went about doing the opposite of that. The Bible said he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. So from that, I'm measuring something against the standard of the Word. So I have to know his Word. That's first and foremost. So if you don't have any other thing to do, you're going to have to, if you don't know where to start, start in the Word. But I'm going to tell you this, doesn't matter where you think you should start, you should start in the Word. And if you haven't, familiarized yourself with his voice in the Word, you're missing out. And you're not going to be really effective at hearing from God and hearing his voice. Because that's where he speaks first and foremost, is in his Word. And then secondly, he speaks to us by his Spirit. We love that. We love God speaking to us by his Spirit. Romans 8:14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. So we know God speaks to us by his Spirit. So this is, some of the things I'm talking about. We talk about in the Abundant Life, Essential 8, that we do on Sunday mornings. We have a whole class where we talk about nothing but this subject. We mentioned these very things that I'm going through here. God speaks to us through his Spirit. And there's really three ways that God speaks to us by his Spirit. First of all, there's the still, small voice that's on the inside of us. Maybe we hear a word or a phrase on the inside. But I'm going to tell you, very rarely do you start there. And really, that's not the most common thing that you have. I mean, it's not all the time I hear words. In fact, most common when I hear on the inside something, it has to do with ministering to somebody else. It has to do with ministering to somebody else. Had that happen during the TCI on Sunday night, Matt was praying, and just in a moment I heard something on the inside, and I just got up and shared it. That's how that most commonly happens to me. When it comes to me hearing from me, that's not necessarily, I hardly ever hear from the still small voice. But you know what I hear from all the time? The inward witness. His Spirit, Romans 8:15, his Spirit bearing witness with my spirit. The inward witness. It's an inward confirmation or a nudge or an unction on the inside. And then the third thing is peace. We know from Colossians that his Spirit, the Bible says that we should let his Spirit rule. Let peace rule in our hearts. We should let peace act as an umpire in our hearts and let it call the shots. So there's peace. We've talked about this. If you don't understand some of these things I'm talking about, get the CD from Abundant Life that talks about being led by the Holy Spirit. We go into depth in all this. So that's the second way. And here's another one. I just want to mention this. A third way that God will speak to us. He speaks to us through the Word. He speaks to us by his Spirit. And another way God has spoken to me and he's spoken to you, whether you've realized it or not, is through other people. Now, not necessarily the way sometimes people think, where, thus says the Lord, Carol, be thou not afraid. I'm not talking about that. Even though there may be a place for that kind of a thing, but that's not specifically what I'm talking about. But I'll tell you something. Someone shared with me something interesting that happened to them at our Trust Challenge Initiative on Sunday night. They were in their small group. Many of you were here that night and you were in your small groups. They were in their small group and they were having a discussion. And someone in the group started talking to them. Now, this is just a fellow believer, a fellow believer that knew very little about what was going on in her life. And he's sitting across the group and he's talking and he starts to say things that address exactly where she is, what she's been thinking, and really are the answers, the very things she needed to hear at that moment. And in fact, things that she had heard in the past from other places that she had forgotten or laid aside or had neglected. But in that moment, that person who she's never had this kind of conversation with before, she didn't even know they could, that they would know. And it was not like this. They just thought they were talking to her. It wasn't especially spiritual, but it was exactly about her issue and what she was dealing with. And the Lord used that person to minister to her and speak to her. And she heard God's voice just through someone else talking. I've had that happen to me. I hear, and they don't even know it. And it's not even necessary that you would know it. But my goodness, I'm so thankful that we have people in our lives that God will speak through and minister through to us. So those are three ways he speaks to us. Now, aren't you thankful for those? How many of you tonight, when you hear those, you're like, yeah, I want to hear his voice more. Yeah, that's something I want to get better at that. I want to grow. Because I'm going to tell you, it's something you can, it's a skill. Hearing God's voice is a skill, and you can get better at it. You can get, you know, tuned in and all. But I want to finish the rest of tonight just talking about why we don't hear his voice. Because Jesus said, my sheep, they hear my voice, they know my voice, they follow me. But you know, I know some sheep that aren't following him. They're sheep, they're saved, but they're not following him. And I've certainly been in that category many times in my life. Some of you may be in that category tonight, where you are sheep. I mean, in the sense that you're saved, you're born again, you've received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and you know it, you have an assurance of salvation, but you're not necessarily following God's plan for your life, or you're not, you know, in the day-to-day, moment by moment, you're not following him. So you're not getting in on that peace and that guidance, that truth, that wisdom that he has, and all the other things he has for you. Not getting it. So why don't we hear his voice? Well, here's one reason that I found that sheep don't hear his voice, that some of us don't hear his voice, is first of all, we haven't learned his voice. You have to learn to hear his voice. You have to learn his voice. You know, a baby is born, like Rachel here is going to give birth. I know y'all think she's giving birth really soon, but it's July. July 21st is her due date. So, and she's giggling. Praise God. Maybe sooner. But anyway, so here she is. And because the baby lives inside of her, I would think that the baby has some inkling of Rachel's voice. I know there's a lot of sounds in there. I've never been cognizant inside of a body. I was inside of a body, but I don't remember what it was like in there. But I would think, you know, like you ever put your ear up to somebody's belly and you hear all the sounds, and I think, boy, it must be loud in there to be a baby, you know. But I would think that even with her heart beating or in the rumbles and grumbles, that there would still be some way the baby could hear her voice. Wouldn't you think? They do? See, Kristen, she can confirm it. She's up on baby stuff. Having had a baby recently, she knows. So the baby can hear the voice. Now, the baby's born. Here's the question. The baby probably knows the mama's voice, but does the baby know the daddy's voice? Unless the baby heard the daddy's voice in the womb a lot, how is it going to hear? I mean, there's some insulation. Some of us had a little more insulation than others when we were, you know, and then there's all those other noise. Then there's the mama, you know, and in my case, the mama didn't shut up enough for the baby to ever hear the daddy. So, you know, tough luck with that. So whenever the baby came along and we had four of them, the baby had to meet the daddy and learn the daddy's voice. Had to learn the daddy's voice. But you know how the baby learned the daddy's voice? Because the baby spent time with the daddy. The daddy would sing to the baby. The daddy would rock the baby. The daddy would play with the baby. The daddy would hold the baby when the baby was, when the mama was saying, you better take that baby. Yeah. You and that baby get out. Yeah, then the daddy had to take the baby. And the baby learned the daddy's voice. But it was something the baby had to learn. But if the baby had never been around the baby wouldn't have learned the daddy's voice, right? Well, in the same way, we have to learn our Heavenly Father's voice. And the only way we're going to learn his voice is by hanging out with him, by being close to him, by listening to him. And some of us have never learned his voice. And I said a moment ago, the first place you learn his voice is in his word. In his word. So you gotta learn his voice there. And then you have to learn his voice by just learning to follow. him, listen for him, to listen to him. So that's the first thing. Spend time with him and in his word. Now here's the second thing. Why don't we hear his voice? Well, let's just be honest. Probably all of us really fit in this category at various times. We don't hear his voice because we're not listening. We're not listening. And see, here's the thing that I've learned about God. One thing I've learned about him is he does not yell and scream and holler. You ever been around that mom that yells and screams and hollers? You know, you are that mom. Well, God help her. Yeah, I've never been a yell and screaming mom. That's never been my thing. So I was more like the mom that would pinch you when you weren't looking, you know. And so... Yeah, but I never really got into the whole screaming thing. But some moms are just, I know a young mom years ago, she was raising her kids around the same time I was raising mine. And I remember you'd get my kids and her kids would be together and she would just scream. I could hardly stand to be with her because of the way she screamed at the kids. I was just like, man, I would hate to be your kid. You are annoying. And let me just tell you something. This is just a little parenting tip I can help you with here. If your kids only respond when you're screaming, you have a serious problem because you're the one who trained them to respond then. It'd be a lot better if you just corrected them with a whisper. Wouldn't that be better if you just trained them that way? That when your voice got really low, they better get serious and get scared then? Yeah, that screaming thing, oh my goodness. I can't imagine you go to school and the teacher then has to scream to get your attention. I don't know. That's how, obviously some people in church, they were raised that way because they're asleep if the pastor isn't screaming. Okay. I can scream if we need. All right. But we aren't even listening. And I said all that to say this, God is not a screaming mama. God does not scream. In fact, the Bible, when it describes his voice, it is a still small voice. It is not the booming voice from heaven. He is not an earth shaking, you know, people think of God and the boom, boom. He's not like that. He's very tender and affectionate and he's very calm. And in a lot of ways, he's quiet and gentle. And if you don't want to listen to what he has to say, then you know what? You don't have to. He'll let you. He'll let you ignore him. That's how he is. That's his nature because he's love. He doesn't insist on his own way. The Bible says that love, when it's describing love in 1 Corinthians 13, says love does not insist on its own way. God is love. He does not insist on his own way. If he has a way, absolutely, he has a way in your life. He has a plan for you. But he doesn't insist on it. And if you don't want to follow him, you don't want to listen, he'll let you do what you want to do. We all know that. We've all done what we wanted to do and regretted it. But we aren't listening. And that's one reason that we don't hear his voice is we aren't listening. And, you know, some of us don't even know how to listen. We've never learned to listen to him. We don't know enough about him to know how he speaks. And so we don't listen. We're not tuned in. I'm just going to tell you tonight, the most vital thing you can learn to do is to hear from God. I'm telling you, that's a skill you need, is the ability to hear from God. Because through that one skill, through that avenue, everything else can be taken care of. Honestly, because he will lead you and guide you into all the truth. So if you can hear from him, you can receive his guidance. He'll take you into everything else you need. He can teach you. If you can hear from him, he can teach you what you need to know. So this is it, man. This is the deal. This is what you need. Once you're saved, this is it. And even that is hearing his voice and responding. But once you're saved, this is it. You got to hear his voice. And he'll take you into everything else you need. Isn't that true? How many of you can say he's done that in my life? He'll take you. And boy, you want to learn to depend on him and not people, because people come and they go. They do. But he doesn't. So you need to learn how, but we're not listening. And here's another part of it. We're distracted. We're very, you understand, we're busy. So we're distracted. We don't hear from him because we're so distracted, because you understand I have so much going on. I have a whole lot of responsibilities. I am a busy man. I'm important. A lot of people are depending on me. I have places to go. I have things I have to do. People are counting on me, and I got to get it done. I got to make it happen. And I don't really have time for all this. You know, that's for you, Pastor Matt. That's for, you know, all those people that come to church and actually listen. But I'm busy. Even when I'm here at church, I have things I got to get done. I got my phone here. I'm taking care of business. Eddie, you got your phone out? Eddie had his hand on his phone. I must have been talking to him. But the reality is that we get so consumed with living our lives that we forget the one who created life, the one who has the purpose for our lives. We just totally get like, oh, wait a minute. Now, I'm not the only one that just is kind of like had an aha moment, and I'll go, I've just been really distracted. I've been doing other stuff. I've been listening to other things. I've been involved with, I've been too busy. Am I the only one? You get too busy. You get distracted. It's interesting. The Bible says, seek first the kingdom of God. And you can't seek the kingdom of God first without seeking to hear his voice. Because the voice of the king is what rules in the kingdom. You got to listen for the voice of the king. You got to listen for him if you're going to function in the kingdom. If you're going to seek first his kingdom, the first part of that is, what would you have me to do, Lord? What would you say? What are you saying to me, Lord? What is your word for me? What is your plan? What's your direction? Speak to me. I'm here. I hear and obey. Isn't that how we would function best in the kingdom? So we have to hear his voice. We have to remember that he's speaking, and we have to like turn off some of our life so we can hear from him. And here's another part of we aren't listening. We are in a hurry. And I don't really have time to listen because I got to get on with this. I feel pressure from people, from the world, from the circumstances. You know, I got to make a decision. They're calling. The phone's ringing, and I got to give them an answer right now. And I don't really know what to do, but I'm just going to make up something between now and the time I answer the phone. Have you heard from God? Well, you know, I'll do it. And I've told you 1,000 times, close to it, that if you have to make a decision right now and the Lord hasn't led you, you don't have a peace, you don't know what to do, the answer's no. Instead of jumping into things, how many people, none of y'all, I'm sure, but how many people have jumped into relationships? They never heard from God. I said, don't raise your hand. I said, no, none of you. Don't be volunteering. This is the wrong time to decide to volunteer. Fessing up. Thank you for your brutal honesty, man. Yeah, we could all raise our hands on things like that. My goodness. We get in a hurry. Whatever we get, there's this pressure. And I'm going to tell you a whole lot of the world and the way the world does things is all designed to get you to make a decision right now. Have you not ever been in to hear, you know, a spiel from a timeshare? You ever had that? You know, you pay $49, you get this fabulous 3-day resort visit. It's the whole purpose. It's all marketing scheme so they can get you in there and tell you right now you have to make this decision right now. They're doing everything but picking up your hand and signing. You know, they're looking for your wallet. You know, I've been there. I was in that. Oh, it's awful. And at that moment, you're like actually thinking you should do it. Matt and I went to Hawaii one time, and we were going to, we got a free helicopter tour to go into this timeshare thing. We'd never been to one. We were pretty young at that time. I think we'd only been married about 5 years. We were young and very ignorant. And there we are, and we're up there. You remember this, Matt? And I'm telling you, this guy was good. Well, you know he was good. He was selling timeshares in Hawaii. I mean, he wasn't down at, you know. Anyway, I won't throw off on your favorite vacation place, but he was in Maui. Kanapali Beach. He was in a good place. He was making the high bucks. So there he is, and he's looking for, here we are. You know, we don't even own our home. but we're going to be buying a timeshare. You know, it's just insanity. And we're there, and you know, it's like, yeah, this seems good. You know, and somewhere in all of it, I mean, I'm just telling you, he's doing the magic dance. And I was like, yeah, this might be good. But suddenly it occurred to me that, forget how much it is, for me to ever even get to the timeshare, I'm going to have to pay how much money? How much does it cost to fly to Hawaii?
Right.
How much does it cost, Tanya? $1,200 before. It doesn't matter how much I'm saving in the timeshare. I have to pay $2,400 just to get there. And fly how many hours? It was stupid.
That's not a good
objection. No. No, that's not. You know what I'm saying? But all of that, that's just really like an overdrawn example of the way that the world puts pressure on us and entices us. Got to make this decision. And it's like, you got to make it right now. Well, no, you can't come back in an hour. No, it has to be right now, or the deal's going away. This will save you some money, Wesley, later in life. Can't even imagine you here. Okay. Anyway, that's a funny thought. Okay. So that's another thing. And now here's something else. Why do we not, you know, why do we not hear his voice? Because the voice of our own flesh and feelings drowns out his voice in our lives. What we want is so loud that we can't hear anything else. But I want a husband. I want to be married. I want. It must be here. He's a man. I'll get married. Well, that's a big one. But there's a whole lot of smaller ones that we go through and fall for. I want. I gotta have it. I need it. You don't understand. I'm emotionally attached, emotionally involved already. I might as well. You don't know how many people, now I don't know why I'm getting off on this whole marriage thing. You don't know how many people that I've talked to that have a divorce in their past, or maybe they're going through a divorce, and they say, Matt, you can verify this, and they say, I knew when I went to get married I shouldn't have married him. I knew when I did it I shouldn't have done it. But we'd already hired the caterer. I mean, once you hire the caterer, it's done. We hired the caterer. No. What we want is what we want. But now I'm just using that. I mean, that's a really big thing. But we do this in a lesser degree all the time. That's our flesh wants something. We want something. So and it just drowns out his voice. Doesn't, I mean, God can't get through. I have had conversations with people where, you know, the woman that I'm sitting, I'm having a conversation with me and with her, and she is convinced. This woman was in ministry at one time, an ordained minister, told me, well, I know he's married to another woman and still lives with her, but I love him and God wants me to be happy. So I'm going to continue to sleep with him. And they weren't doing any sleeping, you understand. I'm going to continue on this path because God wants me to be happy. And doing this makes me happy. Well, that's somebody, you couldn't hear the voice of God because their feelings were way too loud. We want what we want. And you know, and it's not just those kinds of feelings, it's also fear. Fear is a feeling as well. And fear, you won't hear God because you're like, we can't even go there because I'm afraid of it. Or we have a prejudice about something. I don't just mean like a racial prejudice. I mean, we've prejudged it long ago and we won't even consider that. That's done. I remember a pastor's wife of a very large church, of an evangelist friend of mine, went to the church to visit, and he had just returned from India. And she said, India, ooh, I'm never going to India, ooh. Well, I can tell you this. She's not someone who would ever be open to God speaking to her to hear God's voice about her going to India, because she already is judged. India, ooh! I felt she was pretty ooh, too. But anyway, our traditions, Jesus said the traditions of men make the word of God of no effect. So it doesn't matter what God is saying, whether it's the written word or Him speaking to us. If we have a tradition that says this, then we're going to go with our tradition. We can't hear from God. And so that's it. And, you know, I can't get off this point without mentioning this. Sometimes people are so needy. They're so emotionally needy. They're so brokenhearted because of what happened to them early in life or when they were younger or previously. They're so needy. They're in such a bad place. And they have such desperate needs that they can't even hear from God and what He has for them. They won't go to God to have those needs met. They're just so desperate because of their neediness and their brokenness that they won't listen to God. They're just out anything I can to try to suck up something here that's going to meet this need. And their whole life, they're just, you know, just going, try, and totally miss the very thing that will bring them the satisfaction and contentment they long for, which is hearing from God and following His plan. He has a path of healing for them. He binds up broken hearts. Or you can just keep on that little plate, you know, trail you're on, and it's a mess. And then finally, as we close, my last point of why we don't hear from God is this, and it's sort of, we've sort of touched on it already, but it's the noise in the world drowns Him out. The noise. We live in a really noisy world, and don't think that the noise is not on purpose designed to distract you and to keep you from hearing from God. So there's so, remember we read earlier about the voice of a stranger? There are so many strange voices out there, and it's amazing how some of them sound very similar to His voice. They sound similar, but we'll just be drawn astray. It sounds right. And if you don't know His voice and you haven't taken time to develop hearing from Him in your life, and you haven't, you know, listened to Him on purpose and spent time with Him and gotten to know Him through His word, you can easily be fooled. And then the world, the noise from the world comes as persecution, pressure. It also comes from the cares of this world. Any of y'all ever? Okay. The cares of the world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires for other things enter in. All those things have a voice. They're very loud, very noisy. They're clamoring. That would be a word we would use. They're clamoring for our attention. And never has there been a day on planet Earth where there was more noise coming from the world. Because for one reason, we can electronically magnify every voice. And we can be exposed to so many more voices, you know? I mean, it wasn't 100 years ago that the average person never even heard the president's voice. They didn't know what the president sounded like. How many people do you think ever heard Abraham Lincoln speak? How many Americans could identify his voice? They didn't know how to record. They didn't have radio. Unless they went and they were in his presence, and they didn't have automobiles or airplanes to get them in his presence. But all of us, we could hear President Obama on the television walking by, not even look and know it was him. Now, you think about that. Now, think of all the voices in the world, of all the people that you can hear all the time. And they're all just coming at you. So literally voices, as well as all other kinds of noises. And I don't just mean physical noises. I just mean the noise of the age. And it's all about getting you off from listening to Him, because He still speaks in the same way. Everything else, the volume's been turned up, but He still speaks through peace. He still speaks by the inward witness. He still speaks by the still small voice. He still speaks through His word. That has not changed. But everything else, my goodness, it's crowded in. So tonight, we're going to close. Just ask you to bow your head there where you are. And let me pray for you, for all of us, many of us tonight. This is just a reminder. Father, I pray for us all that if we have not learn to follow your voice, learn to hear your voice. I pray, Father, that we would, that you would, by your Holy Spirit within us, you would begin to tutor us, that as tonight we've sort of delved into this, that we've ignited some desire and passion to learn to follow you. Father, I ask you to take that and work with us and teach us all how to follow your voice, how to follow the voice of the Good Shepherd and to distinguish your voice, to know your voice. And then, Father, I pray for anybody here tonight who has not been listening, not been able to listen. They've been drawn away by the noise or the distractions of this age. They've been caught up with the voice of their own flesh or their own feelings and emotions, or they've just been too distracted, too busy, too worried about other things to even consider hearing from you. I pray, Father, for all of us that tonight would be a turning point. Tonight would be a moment in time where we say, wait a minute, I need to hear from God. That's the most important thing in my life. It's vital that I know the voice of the Good Shepherd and that I hear him continually and continue to follow him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We thank you for this tonight in the name of Jesus. Amen. Love you guys.